You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
And it was a busy day in Chicago, but I think most of the news was coming out of South America.
You know, basically, we were a little disappointed out of the idea of what the amount of rain that fell in Argentina over the weekend. You know, some of the guys were just looking and a little enthused that the backup of boats is getting longer and longer for wait times to load. And the idea that harvest is being delayed and the beans aren't getting to the port fast enough to load out all the boats sitting there, and it might force some business back to the U.S. And, of course, a Lunar New Year coming to an end and seeing Chinese business come back. And the announcement of some sales of beans to China today.
Okay, a couple things on China. Out of South America, Argentina, there is a port strike there, and apparently they're picking and choosing some of the boats they're wanting to strike on. I think I saw a note that they had decided not to load Chinese boats with soybeans. Is that right?
You know, I couldn't tell you for sure on that one, Todd, but that would definitely make a difference and be pushing some of the largest importer of beans to pick on them is sort of stupid on their part.
Yeah, well, I think that, well, it might be smart on the part of those who are striking.
Striking, yes, the striking people, but for the Argentine economy, I'm not thinking that's a good idea. But, you know, like I say, those are some crazy things. And, you know, with the inflation that they're having down there and with what's going on with their dock workers and talking about privatizing some of the loading areas, they are going to probably get a little bit mean in this strike.
Okay, so the big push was in the March, May, and July, all old crop soybeans, moving things much higher pretty quickly. Can that be sustained? And do you think it was more weather-related or more related to the strike that's been placed?
Oh, I think it's a combination of both. The weather was the number one. Number two, we saw the demand sitting out there that the crush is still very, very good. We've got a lot of things up in the air as far as we're talking about. We're having a hard time securing cash beans here in the U.S., number two like that. The other thing is options go off on Friday. We busted through our technical points, and we're up at the levels where some of those that shorted those calls on the way down are getting a little bit nervous here, and some of the guys are going after the psychological advantage of making them feel a little bit nervous.
I suppose it's important to make note of the difference between the old and the new crop prices and the difference in the price rise today.
Yeah, you know, 13.25 on the November beans higher, and 46.25 higher on the March beans. Quite a bit of difference. You know, we're looking at the end of the week here. Of course, the USDA is going to have their outlook meeting, and probably a 95% chance they're going to come with some awfully big production numbers forecast for this planting year.
Do you think that'll come in both corn and soybeans?
Well, I think that both of them are going to be sizable numbers, a lot bigger carryout than what we are looking at this year. And, you know, that's why we're not so enthusiastic about new crop prices.
Turn your attention to the corn trade, maybe the coarse grains in general in Chicago. It was much quieter than the soybeans were today.
Quiet was the exact right word to use for the corn market today. Basically, I can't remember a day that we saw beans up 46 and closed corn negative. It just generally doesn't happen that way. You know, rising tide generally floats all boats. But basically, along the line, we saw reverse, you know, spreading buying the beans and selling the wheat and the corn, and the corn sort of caught in the middle because more pressure was actually upon the wheat. But all in all, the corn market, because of the slow demand, because of our export shipments being low, and because it doesn't look like we're going to continue to increase that, and the large number that's coming out of South America, hopefully, you know, soon, and also the big numbers that we're going to be looking at is on the numbers on Thursday and Friday when the USDA meets.
So I suppose that in general just gives you pause to consider all the problems that might be facing the corn market as the new growing season approaches us. The weather forecast looks better for the United States, including parts of the West.
Yeah, you know, some forecasts of some rains, maybe breaking a few of the trends of just totally dry weather. All of those are good things that we hope to, you know, bring back and see a little bit of better production, better weather for certain areas along the way. But you know, we're still a long way from getting that crop in the ground yet and harvested. So, you know, some things to happen along the meantime. But we can't be overly enthusiastic towards new crop corn prices at this point in time until we So we start to see some bad weather like that we experienced over the last year.
In the livestock complex, both the hogs and the cattle have broken 10 bucks from their high. Any relief for them sometime soon?
You know, can we get done with the sequester talk and that we won't have, USDA inspectors and meat plants? That would be one thing that would help them immensely along the way. As we've looked here, I think we've had 11 straight days up in gasoline prices to consumers. The added tax deductions from their paychecks this year. You put those two together, and unfortunately, meat doesn't sell very well at the grocery store.
Thank you much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana.